About a month ago, I was on my way to Fostoria to visit a church there for a church meeting, and I had just been given a new route between here and Fostoria. You know, I was taking the out-of-towners route for the last 3 or 4 years. I'd go to Bettsville, and I'd take 12 down there, and they said, you need to take the farmer's route. You guys know what the farmer's routes mean, right? That's the route you want to take, because that is the shortest amount of time that it takes you to get from point A to point B. 3.5 years later, I'm still discovering the farmer's routes around here from place to place. So what they said is you go out here to 53 and you take a left, okay, and you head south. And then you go down, and they give me route markers around here, because you start throwing numbers at me, which is all our streets around here are numbers, then my eyes just roll back into my head and I just glaze over. And they said, you want to take a right turn at the outdoor movie theater, at the drive-in theater. I said, oh, I can do that. That's 592, right? Okay, I'm getting this, all right? Yeah. You hop on 592, and 592 is a straight shot to 12, and you can cross 12 and keep going, and you can bypass Fostoria. Hallelujah. I mean, if you're from Fostoria, don't get me wrong. Fostoria is a great place, but it's also a great place to bypass because of all the trains. But I had to go into the heart of Fostoria, so I was right there. I shaved 5-10 minutes off my journey. Now, here's what I had to do, because I was on unfamiliar roads. It was dark that night. Get that? It was dark that night. It was dark at night, and the wind was blowing. It was kind of cold out, and I was really kind of uncertain where I was going. And when you take the farmer's routes, there's these pesky little red things that are three-letter words that say stop, and so I had to make sure I knew when those were coming and I wasn't going too fast for a stop sign. And, you know, I was just in unfamiliar territory. So I made sure that I put my headlights on. Check. All right. My intelligence is still sound. All right. I mean, because you would think I'd be a fool to go out in the dark in a car without headlights on. And that wouldn't even be if you were going to a place you'd been to 1,000 times. You'd still put your headlights on, right? Because that's what reasonable people do at night when you're in the car. Because if you don't have your headlights on and you're driving in the dark, what are you asking for? You're asking for trouble. You're asking for an accident. You're asking for a wreck. So I was so unfamiliar with the area, I thought, I better pop on the high beams. Now, because I didn't need any old light source. I needed the light source. I mean, I needed as much power as I could muster. And as soon as I flipped on the high beams, I kid you not, there was something moving off about 50 yards in the distance, and it was quickly moving towards the road, and its nose wasn't glowing, but it had antlers, if you know what I mean. And we know what those things are in this area, in this neck of the woods. There was a buck, and there was a deer. He's crossing the road, and it gave me enough time to slow down and stop and let him pass. Praise God, because you know what it's like to collide with a deer. Some of you literally know what that's like. You've had that experience, demolish your truck, your car, and it could cause bodily injury to you. You might have a nice meal in the end, but it's not going to leave you in too good a shape, okay? So I was thankful. I was thankful for the light. It was the light. It was the headlights as the source of the light that let me see the way that evening. Sisters and brothers, we need that in our real lives. We need a light to help us see and to navigate an unknown and uncertain future. Because like my unfamiliarity with that road that evening, that's what most of our life is like when we step into the future. When we step into tomorrow. You see, without light, we'll have no idea of what's ahead. We won't be able to see the future, and we'll not be able to avoid disaster, and we also won't be able to take the path that we know that we should be taking. Here's what the Bible says in Isaiah. This is God's word. This is really cool. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. Sounds like my journey to Fostoria. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. Isn't that cool? I will make the rough places smooth, because Lord knows there are rough patches that are ahead of us that we need God to illuminate for us. He goes on to say, these are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. How awesome is that? You have it signed and sealed and delivered. You have it in a chest and the key is locked and the key's been thrown away. It is there for you. It is God's promise for you. I will do this. I will not forsake you. Have you ever felt like you've been in that blind spot in life where you're worried about something, or you're worried about what's around the next corner, but you can't exactly see what's going to happen? Or maybe you've gotten a glimpse of what's going to happen, but you don't know how it's going to fully affect your life? Maybe you're in that moment where you're unsure how to tackle an issue, or you're faced with a decision that you have to make, and decision A is a painful decision, and decision B is a painful decision, but you can't live with indecision because indecision is a decision. I mean, you ever have those moments in your life where you feel like you just don't know what to do or what choice to make? And maybe you're in that spot where you just can't see where your life is headed. Mainly for you, life is just a consistency of one day after the other, never really understanding what your purpose is or why you're here or what you're doing or why you're doing what you're doing. all those moments are moments of darkness that we've all experienced, and some of us are dealing with those things right now, that feeling of just being lost in life. Well, God has brought us a promise in that scripture in Isaiah. It is a Christmas promise for you and for me, something we need to hear and be reminded of every single Christmas, and that is God didn't create you to keep you in the dark. God did not create you to keep you in the dark, to keep you lost and lonely, to keep you uncertain, unsure, to keep you living in fear and in worry. He did not create you and design you to live like that. And so because of that, God got His hands dirty. He was so unsatisfied leaving you in that condition that He cared for you enough to send you the light of life. Here's what Jesus says. He says, "I have come into the world as this light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." It's not God's desire for you to stay in that state. So much so that He got active. He left heaven, sent His Son here on earth, came as a baby, lived this life, died on the cross, was raised from the dead. He did all of that because He was so dissatisfied with the dark state of this world. Now, how does this play out in practical and real life? That's what we want to do here. We want to take God's Word and apply it to our real lives. Well, for me, it reminds me of a time about 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe 2 months ago, where I was searching for a family in a house that I hadn't been to in the Old Ford area, and I found their address, and I got it on Yahoo or Googled it, Google Maps, and I went to where I needed to be, but there wasn't really a house exactly where that address was supposed to be. The numbers were all messed up or something, so I tried to call on the phone. Nobody answered, so I drove back to church, and I went to Mike and Janet because I know that Mike and Janet care for me, and we've got a good friendship, and we work together, and I knew that they would help me out, so I said, "Hey, Mike, Janet, help me find this house and this address." So the loving friends that they are and the loving co-workers that they are, of course they looked at me and said, "Well, have fun being in the dark on that one." "We love it that you're in the dark, John. That's great. Why don't you just stay there?" Now, that'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it? I mean, that would just be silly. I mean, we give directions to complete strangers, don't we? Of course we're going to give them to our friends, our family, our co-workers. Because we don't like it when people remain in the darkness, right? So if we do that with our friends, how much more do you think that your Savior, that your God, would not want you to remain in the darkness as well? Of course God is going to give us the directions that we need. That's why He gave us Christ. You see, the birth of Jesus is a result, a direct result, of God's dissatisfaction with you living in the dark. He wants to give you a light for your life so that you can see. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." How could anybody turn that down? How could we turn down the light for our life? You see, going through life without Christ is kind of like driving in the dark with no headlights. I mean, think about that for a second. Going through life with Christ is a lot like driving in the dark with no headlights on the way to Fostoria on a road that you've never been on before. Because what happens is when we try to navigate our life blindly in the dark on our own, that's when disaster strikes. I mean, that's when the wrecks occur. And that's where our lives just get all messed up and discombobulated. Maybe not on the outside, but on the inside. But on the outside too. You see, we need the light of Christ for clarity in the uncertainty of life so that He can smooth over the bumps of life. I loved that statement back in Isaiah where He talks about smoothing over the rough places in our lives. And if my friends are going to give me light, if they're going to illuminate where I need to go, if they don't want me to remain in darkness, how much more will Christ do the same for you and for me when we seek His help? Here's what it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin." Think about this for a second. You ever been camping or you've been in the woods before and you need a flashlight to see where you're going? Maybe you got to go to the canyon and you don't know where that is, and you got to walk through the woods and go through the path, and it's a place you've never been. Of course, it's dark, right? And so you only have one flashlight typically, but you're going with a buddy, and you know your buddy's walking around with the flashlight. What are you going to do? You're going to go off and do your own thing? No, you're going to hang with the light. Right? You're gonna be in the light as your friend is in the light. Okay? You're gonna be in the light as your friend is in the light. And so hopefully your friend knows where he's going. First of all, I've been there. All right? Because what happens if we go off on our own and our friends, he takes the light with him? You're in the dark. And what happens when you're in the woods in the middle of the dark? You get slapped in the face with what? Branches, trees. You get those little stickers on the side of your leg. You might run into a grizzly bear. Well, we're in Old Fort. You might run into a little brown fox or something like that. But you know what I'm talking about. You might step in a pothole. You might twist an ankle. You might trip over a log. I mean, you don't know what's coming up in the darkness in the middle of the woods. So you need to remain in the light as your friend is in the light. So here's what your friend does. Your friend sacrifices this light for you. And so you have to willingly accept that sacrifice. You have to willingly accept their kind gesture in order to be able to remain in the light and mostly to be able to see. It would be foolish for us to go on our own. We know now that we need the sacrifice of another and that we have to willingly accept that sacrifice. The same is true in life with God. The same is true in life with Christ. You see, it is the blood of Christ. It is the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross that delivers us out of the darkness. How about that? It delivers us out of the darkness and He makes a way for us, but we have to accept it. We have to receive it into our life. We have to choose to go where Jesus is going and to trust that Jesus knows exactly what He's doing and He's going to lead us exactly to where we need to be. And so if we're going to walk in the light, we need to repent of our sin. We've got to turn from our wicked ways and we've got to turn from the choices that we've lived with most of our life, that is to serve ourselves. And we have to go on the path that Jesus is leading us. We have to go His way instead of going it on our own. I mean, we know the wise men. Remember the wise men? They did the very same thing. They had that challenge before them. Remember these guys? They came from the Far East. That's what they came from, Jersey? Something like that? They came from the Far East and brought cheesesteaks with them. Wouldn't that be great? Whew, cheesesteak. I could use one of those right now. Where did I go with that one? Wise men coming from the East. All right. I call them the wise guys, the three wise men, the magi, whatever you want to call them. These guys came from the East, and they came from the East because they knew the signs of the times. They remembered the Old Testament scriptures, and they used their own wisdom in connection with God to get themselves to where they needed to be. But we also know that on their way to finding Jesus, they had to take a detour because they needed directions, and so they stopped off at Herod's palace to let them know that the Savior was here, and they wanted to know where He was, and that made Herod all discombobulated because he was jealous because he didn't want anybody else to be king but him. And you know that long story about how he goes into the back room in the darkness and creates this deceptive plan and plot that he tries to suck the wise men into. And so he comes out to the wise men and he says, "Hey, yeah, that's a good idea. Here's where Jesus is. Go worship Him. And when you're done, come back to us and report to us so we can go worship Jesus." But we all know, you know, the real story, what was going on there. So they also seek other people's ingenuity and wisdom and ideas on where they should go. So they're relying on themselves and other people. But what is the thing that gets them to be exactly where they need to be? They walk outside and they see what? They see a star. They see the Star of David. A light. The light of Jesus Christ. And here, this is no ordinary star. This isn't just a part of the constellations. I mean, this is a star that the Bible literally says went out before them. Now, I don't know about a star like that, about you. I mean, we've seen shooting stars, but they're here 1 second, gone the next. This star literally is leading them. The Bible says that it goes out before them, and it guides them into unfamiliar territory. It guides them out into the future. And literally, that star rests over where Jesus is, and it takes them exactly where they need to be. How about you? I mean, don't we need that kind of light in our life? Don't we need the light of Jesus? Because the only thing that's going to lead us right where we need to be is the light of Christ. The only thing that's going to lead us to eternal life is the light of Jesus. The only thing that's going to lead us to exactly where we need to be and purpose in our life is the light of Christ. Thomas says to Christ, "How in the world can I know the way in life?" Jesus answers, "I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Let's simplify that. No one has the life that I've designed for them except through me. No one can live the purposes for which I designed them except through me. No one can have eternal life except for me. No one can be in relationship with my God except through me. You see, we have never been where we need to go in life, but God has. And if we have never been where we need to be in life and God has been there, doesn't it make sense that we bring God into our life to show us the way? Because we can't find it on our own. We're not going to be able to find it anywhere else. There's no other solution. There's no other source of life that's going to navigate us in life. Not ourselves, not our relationship, not money, not our stuff, not shopping, not pleasure seeking, not even the glitz and glamour and the chaos of Christmas itself. We just got to go all in with Jesus so that He can light our way. But we can't do that unless we trust. You see, we've got to trust in the light. We've got to put our trust in the light. I got to have trust in my buddy who's got the flashlight. Because here's what happens. If you ever walk with somebody who you just sense they don't know where they're going, every day we have that experience. You're going to get yourself in trouble, man, I tell you what. I'm not going to help you either. All right, so we walk through life, and what happens if we're walking next to our buddy in the woods, and they have the flashlight, and we sense that they don't know where they're going? We have two choices. Either we go back to camp, and we get our own flashlight, or we knock our buddy on the forehead and said, "Give me the light, because I know where I'm going, and I got a better idea of where we need to go," right? You ever have those tug-of-wars over the light about, "Hey, all right, give me the flashlight. You need a flashlight. No, I know where I'm going." Maybe for you it's more applicable with a remote control if you're home with the spouse. I mean, we have a better idea of what channel we know we need to be on, don't we? And so we have the tug of war with the remote because we each have an idea. We each want control. We each know exactly where we know we need to be. And we have a better idea than the very person and friend that we have that's carrying the light. You ever been there in life where you feel like you just want control over the situation or the circumstance and it's hard to let go? It's hard to trust that person. It's hard to trust that direction that they're leading us in. And so we have this struggle and we have this battle. Well, friends, we've got to trust the light. And here's what the Bible says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. This is the hardest part of a relationship with God, isn't it? I mean, this is the most difficult and most challenging piece of Scripture that many of us have ever faced. The challenge that I have to let go. The challenge that it is not about my wisdom. It's not about my ingenuity. It's not about my picture. It's not about my idea. It's not about me being in control. I've got to let go and trust the professional. I've got to let go and trust the greatest thing that has ever been a part of this earth in my life, and that is a relationship with God. About 7 years ago, I was in a golf scramble, and on my team, golf scramble is basically a foursome, and then you battle everybody else, and then there's prizes given away. It's a blast. And this guy I was playing with on my team, he had like a 7 handicap or something like that. Let me just put it this way, for you non-golfers, 7 handicap is pretty good. Okay? All right, so he's shooting about an 80 somewhere in there every time he goes out to golf, you know, something like that, 79, 80, 81. Okay, let me put that in perspective for you. I have about 125 handicap. All right? My 13th club is a chainsaw because I spend so much time in the woods. I got to cut things down before I hit the ball. And that's just the way I am. So we were playing, and this guy, he's the professional if there was one on our team. And so we're playing. We're on like a 7th hole or something. He's teeing off. All right, he's teeing off. And I played this course before, and he hasn't. So I know what I'm talking about. And so he's in the middle of his swing. He's in his backswing, teeing off with the driver. I said, oh, hold on a second. Hold on. Now, you don't want to aim right there. You want to go about 4 or 5 feet to the left because, you know, I know what I'm talking about here. So you want to aim that ball about 4 or 5 feet to the left. And he turned around and didn't even move from his stance. He's still here. He turns around and looks at me. And he gives me that look that says 1,000 words. And he didn't even open his mouth. And here's what he said to me with his eyes. He said, I'm the one here with the 7 handicap. You got 125 handicap. Why are you giving me directions on how I'm supposed to play the game of golf? Be quiet. And you know what? His mouth never moved the whole time. He just looked at me. He looked back at his tee. He wound up again, hit the ball, and sure enough, sliced it off 5 yards to the left and went into the trees. I kept my mouth shut the rest of that round of golf. What do I know? I'm not the professional. I'm not the guy with the 70 handicap. What business do I have giving this guy any ounce of advice? I don't care if he doesn't know the course or not. He still has a better shot of making it with my mouth closed than he does with my mouth open. I mean, many of us are still trying to let God know what we need. Many of us are still trying to tell God what we need, what the best plan for our life is. And if we don't like His idea, we'll ignore it and we'll suggest a better one to Him. Hey, God, how about 3 or 4 feet to the left? That would be much better for me. I mean, have we been there before where we have let God know that we want the flashlight? And that's the struggle, because if we're fighting with God over the light, God's not going to give this up. God won't give this up. God's going to enter your life. He's going to shine through your heart and you'll have the light of the world living in you. But God's never going to give up control. God wants control of your life and He wants you to give up control so that He can give you the guidance and direction that we need. After all, God is the 7 handicapper. Jesus is the one that's the professional in the situation, not us. We're the 100, 125 handicapper. And so we have to give our life over to God. Because when we do this, if we fight for the light and we step out of the light, that's when we get ourselves in trouble. That's when we're driving a car without headlights in the middle of nowhere in the middle of the night. And things start to get dark and bumpy and we start to stumble and that's when we get in a wreck. It's kind of like what happens around the holiday season, right? Holiday season is a great time of year, especially Christmas. But for a lot of people, it's a painful and difficult time of year. For a lot of us, we've lost a loved one at that time of the year, or we've lost a loved one previously in the year, and now we're experiencing this holiday season without them for the very first time. We have painful memories, or something in our life just isn't well, or we have difficult relationships in our family. Guess what happens during the holidays when you have struggling relationships in your family? They get exacerbated. They get blown up. They get explode in your face. And guess what happens? See, that person, that relative that lives 2,000 miles away, that's semi-annoying, now they're next to you in your guest room for 3 days. Come on now, let's talk about practical stuff. And you're all the while, you're trying to organize the perfect holiday feast. You're trying to get everybody in the right seat and have all the right meals and get all the right presents for everybody to make sure everybody has this beautiful holiday so that you can have your perfect holiday experience too. I know this because our holiday blew up last year. And this is a potential that we have. Here's what we need to practice this time of year. We got to let go. We got to let go of our expectations, our mental pictures, what we think Christmas season ought to be about, and let God show up and do His thing. This past Thanksgiving, we were heading up to Cleveland just about 4 weeks ago, and one of the things that is difficult about Thanksgiving at Aaron's folks' house is their dining room isn't big enough to fit all the family that shows up. So one set of family eats in the dining room, the other set of family eats on the other side of the house in the kitchen. And it just doesn't feel right. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, we drive 200 miles. We want to have a meal with the people that we came to see. And so I was just going to make a phone call this year to suggest something. See? Because the son-in-law knows everything. That'll get you in trouble right there. Oh, Lord. I apologize for that. But to my better judgment, I didn't. I said, okay, God, I hear you. I just need to let go. This isn't about me. It's not about me. I mean, how much of life do we want it to be about us? It's not about me. I'll just let it go. God, you'll bless the situation. I'll see what happens. That day, Erin gets a phone call from her Uncle Jack. I mean, gets a phone call from her mom. Said, Uncle Jack just called me. He says he's concerned that the families sit apart at Thanksgiving table. He says he wants to take care of it. He wants to go back over to Grandma and Grandpa's house, have Thanksgiving there. And the reason we never went over there anymore is because we didn't want them to cook. He says he's going to pay for the whole meal. We're going to get it shipped in from Bob Evans. Can you imagine that? I didn't say a word. I just kept my mouth shut, and I just let God handle it. And guess what he did? He handled it. I didn't have to do a thing except for to just walk in the light and be quiet and keep my mouth closed. I mean, how many of us are in these situations where we just got to let God take over and take control? I mean, I avoided so many disastrous potholes that day. I avoided relational disaster on the road of life because I trusted in the light and not in myself. How about you? Here's the last thing. We got to have certainty in uncertain times. And we may not have certainty because the future is kind of dark. The future is dark just because we can't see it because we haven't been there before. I mean, we don't know what our job's going to look like in 5 months. We don't know what our finances are going to look like necessarily. We don't know what kind of expenses we're going to incur. We don't know what kind of security we're going to have. We don't know what the health of our family is going to be like. We don't know those things. We don't know what decisions we're going to have to face and what choices we should always make in those. So we've got to trust in a guide who's been there and who's has the experience and who can see into it and care for our future. Now, the only one that I know that can do that is God. You and I aren't equipped to handle those things. We're not omniscient. Omniscient is a fancy term for knowing no time, both being able to live in the past, the present, and the future. The only thing I know that knows that is God. We don't. We aren't omniscient. And so we have to find a guide who is. The other day we want to do this so we can have insight for how we should go, where we can go in life. So the other day I'm walking into Family Video down at Tiffin, and I'd been there a couple times before but never rented anything, but this time I got a video in my hand. I go to the desk. He says, oh, you've not been here before. I said, no. He says, well, let me show you around. He started showing me around. I thought I knew that place. I mean, he's showing me stuff. He took me over to the Family Video section. He says, these are free rentals. I said, how do those two words go together? Free rentals? I went home. I was so excited about it. I told Erin. I said, did you know that all the kids' movies down at Family Video and Tiffin are free? And she says, I know. I was there. I said, what do you mean you knew? I mean, I didn't know this. You know, she says, I've been there before. The guy that was working there, he'd been there before I did. That's how I found out all this stuff. That's how I discovered everything. That's how I saw that video store in a whole new light. Because I let somebody who's lived there, grown up there, has worked there for years, and also my wife, who knows better than I do in most things, tell me about it. Show me about it. They guided me through the process. They said, yeah, you go in there and you can get free family movies at Family Video for the kids. All right? In Proverbs it says, listen, my son, my daughter, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to the instruction. Do not let it go. Listen to this. Guard it well, for it is your life. He doesn't say it's important. He doesn't say this is a big deal. He says it's your life. It's your very life. The instruction from God, having God being a light in our life, it's our very life. You see, we have a God who's omniscient. We have a God who knows no time. We have a God who's been there, is here, and is going there. We have a God who knows our future and has it in His hand. And so in that we can be certain. We can't be certain in an uncertain future, but we can be as certain in a God who knows the future, a God who has the future in His hands, a God who's been through everything that we've been through. That can give us certainty. Because we've all had those moments where we've lacked the wisdom and we're in the darkness on what to do and where we should be and what we should go, and the difficult moments that we have where our efforts are failing and we have no idea how to proceed and we don't know the way, we don't know the right thing to do, we're in the dark, we basically just need a light to see the path. We've all been there before, including Erin and myself. You see, Erin and I have been in that place as a family for about 6 years. We've been in the dark. For about 6 years we were in the dark, trying everything we could to figure out how to get out of it. I mean, we sought counseling from friends and from family. We sought professional counseling. We went into our own hearts and we sucked the marrow out of all the wisdom that we had. We prayed and wore out our knees. We opened Scripture and wore out the pages in our Bibles. And we physically and literally sought help from our friends as they intervened in our family and in our issues. And when we're in the darkness, it affects everything. It causes struggles everywhere. And while we're pining away around in the dark, you know, our marriage is being challenged. challenge. Our children are finding themselves in harm's way on a regular basis. I mean, our family was fracturing in this 6 years worth of darkness because we were walking into daily potentials for disaster on a regular basis. And difficulty was turning into desperate, and desperate was turning into dire, and we were just in this process of hurting. And I can't tell you how many times Aaron and I sat in the kitchen or we were behind closed doors in the bedroom at night when the kids went to bed having conversations that went like this. I just don't have any idea what to do anymore, with tears flowing out of our eyes. I just don't know what to do anymore. It seems like any choice or decision we make right now is a bad one. We feel like we're in the darkness right now. Honey, I feel like I'm in the dark on this right now. And all we could do is just lean on and trust in God. We had no answers anymore. And this affects everything. I mean, it affected me in my job, at my work. I mean, I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to have all the answers. How am I supposed to lead people? I'm the one that's supposed to not only provide answers for everyone else, but I'm supposed to have the answers in my own life. I mean, I'm supposed to have the perfect family. I'm supposed to be the role model for parenting in the area. And yet, I'm the one that's living in darkness. I mean, what would the church think? What would the greater community of Old Fort think? I had these feelings of being a failure as a parent, being a failure as a pastor, being a failure as a person, because I felt like we were in a no-win situation. We had two choices to make, and both of them were equally painful. And yet, indecision is a decision. We couldn't go on any longer without making one of these two choices, and both of them equally had ramifications. What do you do when no choice seems good? What do you do when both choices are equally painful, yet you have to act? I don't know what else to do other than trust the light. And that's exactly what Aaron and I did, and maybe you've been in that spot before too. Here's what Paul says. He says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' He made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." We've got to look to the face of Jesus Christ in our problems, in our darkness. This all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You see, when you're in the darkness, you need to seek the light. Not human opinion, not personal feelings, not your own personal wisdom, because it is Jesus that will light our path and Jesus that will show us the way. And it wasn't until we finally visited one of the foremost experts in the area and issue and struggle that we were dealing with in the Midwest area of the country that he finally diagnosed what we were going through, and he also made a recommendation that shocked us. But yet this recommendation, even though it was painful, felt like a weight was lifted off of our shoulders. It felt like a light at the end of the tunnel, and it felt peaceful. And that's how we can know how God's working in our life. That's how we can know the direction that God gives us. Because even if we're in the middle of painful circumstances, even when we have to make painful decisions and choices, even when we have to live into difficult times, even though it hurts, and you can have peace in those moments, that's where you know Christ is working. And that's the only way we can make those kind of choices and decisions. I mean, we go through this all the time in our lives. We see people not choosing the road less traveled. We see people making the easy choices and decisions because we don't want to have the pain. And without Christ, we never choose the pain. I mean, without Christ, we never choose the most difficult path. And a lot of times, the right decision is a difficult path. It is the difficult choice that we have to make. And only with Christ in our life as the light can we do such things in our lives. You see, even though there's pain, we have peace. In 2 Samuel, it says, "You are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness into light. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Here's what we really have. We have a Savior that goes with us. We have a portable source of light to illumine the path that's right in front of us. Now, we might be in the dark for a little bit, but God's purpose is not to keep us there for very long. He goes with us, and He shines a light on our paths. You see, His word is what matters. What God says is what matters. And the way that God shows us to go is what matters, because He is the light. He is a lamp that shows us the way, that reveals the truth, and that gives us the light. So if you lack wisdom in darkness, then you seek God and you trust Him that He'll lighten and straighten your paths. Sisters and brothers, today Aaron and I are trusting God with Haley. She's in a good home. She's in a good home and a loving family. And there isn't a week that goes by that I don't miss her. But there isn't a week that goes by that we also don't have peace as a family. I don't know her exact future. I don't have all the answers, but I know God does. I know that God has her future in mind. I know that God has all the answers. And so it's in Christ's light that I continue to trust to bring wisdom into our dark moments. How about you? What's your dark moment? You see, God's promise is that if we walk in the light, He will guide our paths. He will give us the way to go, no matter how painful the circumstance. And if you trust the light of Christ, He will allow you to see the unseen, and He will show you the way, He will give you the truth, and He will provide life for you. Thanks for letting me share this personal moment with you guys. I want to invite the band to come forward and to close us with a song. And while they do that, I just want to bring your attention to three action steps that are in your worship insert at the bottom and the backside of that outline. The first one is this. What is your dark moment and uncertainty? Where do you need God to shine His light in your life? Work on shifting your trust to Him, whatever that is. Secondly, what path is God making clear to you right now and we're choosing to ignore? Go there. Be in the light as He is in the light. Let Him hold the flashlight. Let Him show you where you need to go and go. Thirdly, be a light for someone this holiday season. Donate food. Donate toys. It's still not too late. The truck's probably not going to leave until the middle of this week. You can still bring more stuff in. Heck, if you want to, you can bring it to the Salvation Army on Friday night if you need to bring it that late. Come with us on Friday night. Come back, pack food boxes. Maybe there's a Christmas family out there that needs help and you haven't decided to help someone yet and God brings them along your path. Are you going to turn them down? Are you going to say no? Or are you going to let God use you in a great way? God wants to challenge us this year to not only be in the light, but to also go out and lead the light. Why don't we stand and we're going to do this closing song together. As you go this week and you feel like you're in the darkness, here's the good news. God is going to do everything in His power to make sure you don't remain there. He already has done everything in His power. He sent us Jesus Christ, and that is the gift and the promise at Christmas. And so you have a portable light source to go with you everywhere. You see, God doesn't just walk with you. He lives in you when you choose Jesus. When you ask Him to come into your life, He will join you there and He will illuminate your path. It doesn't mean life's going to get easier. It may mean that life might get harder for a time. But God will try to smooth out those rough spots and He'll try to give you a clear picture of your future. So as you go, don't drive at night without your headlights on. Have a great week. God bless. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock for prayer.